Hello there. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it. And it's hard to not talk about it a lot here in Matthew chapter 5, apparently, because this is our third podcast.
I know.
And we're still in Matthew 33. Chapter 5. We've done three podcasts just out of this chapter.
Right.
Which, again, is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' countercultural teachings, one by one. He has spoken about several things, from divorce to adultery to murder. And now, as we pick it back up, Ivy in verse 33 is going to talk about making oaths.
Okay. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne.
And you don't have any business swearing by it.
Right. Or by the earth, for it is his footstool. Or
still
by,
his, you don't have any business swearing by it.
Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king.
His again, you have no authority there.
And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one single hair white or black.
So you apparently don't even have authority on your own head.
You got nothing. You got
Although,
nothing.
Nowadays, you can make your hair white or black. Just a point.
All
I don't think
you,
he was thinking about hair dye.
No, I don't think so. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Okay, the evil one, from an evil place, from our adversary, from the devil.
Right.
So, what gives here, Ivy? What's your take on these simple verses from Jesus?
Well, my understanding of an oath is that it's generally something that will be invoked or brought about, or you bring into this agreement some form of God, right? That's what you do. I mean,
So you're pulling God
into
or
it.
Something sacred into
yeah.
your agreement.
Like, right, kind of like.
Or into your arrangement or promise.
Yeah, yeah. And you see it in funny, silly ways now in, like, movies or whatever. Like, I swear on your mom, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to go, oh, you're
this is
serious about this. Right. And I think it. I don't know. I just think Jesus is addressing that specifically.
Yeah, he's saying don't do it.
Like, why are you being so rash? Like, why are you having to make a big show of it?
Why don't they need to do this? How else are they going to show that they mean what they say?
By actually just doing it.
Yeah, he's talking about just, hey, look, let your word be your bond.
Right, right.
Do what you say you're going to do. You don't need to bring God into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you start bringing God into your oath, you've brought in, you know,
than you can handle, buddy.
More than you can handle. Consuming fire. Moses
right.
could barely stare at the bush
mm-hmm.
in the Old Testament, right? Isaiah had to cover his face when God went by. You can't see God and live. So don't try to bring that holy,
yeah.
magnificent, powerful entity into your arrangement.
Right.
Because if you don't keep it, now you are in huge trouble.
Yeah.
Because you swore by God that you would. And you are accountable for the oaths that you make. So he's saying that don't enter into oaths.
Don't do it.
At least not quickly. And when you do, don't swear by God.
Mm-hmm.
Or really swear by anything. He kind of goes down the list there.
This got nothing to do with me.
And he's just saying, look, just say, do what you said you were
mm-hmm.
going to do.
Right.
And be a person of your word. And that'll be a good thing.
Right. Be accountable.
And usually when people are going, oh, I promise, what they're really doing is they're compensating for past times when they haven't done what they said
That's
they were going to do.
That's true.
And so if you just get into a pattern of doing what you're supposed to do and keeping your word, then you won't have to hearken to oaths and swearing by one thing or another. And look, if you just start, if you've had a bad track record, and you're like, you've broken a lot of promises
right.
or whatever, don't try to like double up on it or double down on it and super swear or
right.
cross
super
your heart,
swear.
Hope to die.
Right.
Just
yeah.
Surprise people by suddenly changing the trend and doing what you said you were going to do, and quietly just go about your business, and they'll be pleasantly surprised. Like, oh my gosh, he actually did what he said he was going to do.
Right. Right. Indeed. Okay. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
Yeah, it's so I'm reminded as we read this just how humbling it is and a little bit audacious on our part to even try to give just like a basic breakdown of these teachings of Jesus here, because they are huge and their implications are huge. So I want to take just a second here and say, hey, look, I get that we're not being thorough enough and that there's a lot more to say on each of these, but that's not the focus of our podcast. We're just trying to read the Bible, talk about it, like you would if you were sitting at home, and you had your Bible open and you read this and you took a sip of your tea and looked out the window and mused on it for a little while. That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
But this is an incredible passage.
Oh, my gosh.
Verses 38 through 42 might be the hardest teaching. Well, I won't say that, because coming right after is love your enemies.
Yeah.
This is such a hard section of Scripture.
Right.
And they're piling up. These things just seem to be getting more and more challenging that Jesus is teaching. And again, they're all in succession. They're without pause. And he doesn't explain any of them. He just keeps going.
He's like, I said what I said.
I said what I said.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, look, you've heard eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And that is in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, Deuteronomy 19. It shows up 3 times in the Old Testament. This was part of the Old Testament law. They didn't just pull this out of nowhere. But Jesus says, I'm telling you something different. Now, this is exciting.
It is.
And controversial. Because what he's saying is, I'm teaching you something that supersedes what you've heard before. And what you heard before was the law.
Right. Yeah.
And he said earlier in chapter 5, he says, I haven't come to abolish it. I've come to fulfill it.
Right.
And you'd be good to keep the law. But now he's saying, look, at the same time, I'm going to tell you some things that are superb or superior to what you've heard before.
Right.
What's going to work better than this eye for an eye way of justice is what I'm about to suggest to you now. Which is, be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Don't resist an evil person. Someone slaps you on the right cheek.
Right.
Don't retaliate. Don't feel entitled to hit him back. Just open up your left side as well and see if they want to take another shot.
Mm-hmm.
But in your humility, try to win them over. In your kindness, in your generosity, in your charity. If they want to go 1 mile, go 2.
Right.
This isn't completely foreign, because the Proverbs talk about, you know, how heaping kindness on someone who's been cruel is to them, it's like burning coals on their head. It's like, it's hard for me to be mad at you when you're kind to me. It's hard for me to be aggressive towards you when you're showing me love.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this, as crazy as all this sounds, and as it had to sound to the Israelites, we've seen this work historically on multiple occasions
in
different places around the world.
Right. And it's something that worked for David. Speaking of old covenant, you know, King David was anointed. He was king for all intents and purposes. And Saul was hellbent on killing him. I mean, and he had an opportunity. Saul was right there, tracking him down like a dog.
Put him into the whole thing. Yeah.
You know, but I think David was closer to this than probably a lot of other people were, understanding that personal vengeance isn't necessary when you trust that God has got something greater planned. It's hard. That's hard to imagine in this day and age when every Tom, Dick, and Harry's got a gun to protect their family. And I'm going to say something not very popular.
Say it.
I think that it's one thing for an individual to say, I believe in the sanctity of life at conception.
Okay, like we're talking like childbearing. Yeah,
right.
Abortion stuff.
Yes. And say, why? Because life begins there and life is sacred.
Okay.
But I don't question my desire to shoot someone if they come in my house.
Suddenly life is not sacred anymore.
Right. But you look at this passage, how can you wiggle out of this passage? This is literally someone who wants to take something from you. And he's like,
saying,
just give it to him. Just give it to him. Things
Which,
can be replaced. Your
so
life can't.
Fear is really the issue.
Right. But
we're afraid
right.
to be walked on. We're afraid they will hit our left side as well. We're afraid they will ask for the second mile. We're
right.
afraid that they will ask for our tunic. We're afraid that they'll just keep going and that we'll become a doormat.
Sure.
And
yeah.
trusting in God and in his teachings, trusting in Jesus and his teachings, says,
right.
look, I'm falling here without a net. You are the only one to catch me. If I obey this, the only way I'm going to not get walked over is if you are my rescue, if you are my safe, you know.
And that takes so much faith.
It does.
So much faith.
Why this is so hard and
yeah.
why fear is really the only thing that stops us from accepting this,
mm-hmm.
any more than it would stop us from accepting any of Jesus' teachings.
Right.
Oof. Yeah, mm-hmm. and so then he takes it up a notch in verse 43. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, where'd we hear that? That would be in Leviticus chapter 19.
Right.
Again, this is part of the law. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is part of what makes you a child of God. Having this love for
right.
God's children, even when they're being aggressive towards you. He causes the sun rise for the evil and for the good.
Mm.
And sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In other words, God is still hopeful for these people. They're
sure.
still his children. He's still providing.
Right.
Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you
what,
get?
What are you going to get for that?
I mean, even the tax collectors do that.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 47, and if you greet only your own people, people who look like you, who are in your station in life,
right.
who are from your culture, so on and so forth.
Wow.
What are you going to, what are you doing more than others?
Right.
Do not even the pagans just greet their own people?
Right.
Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Bang! Okay, you know what? I could have done without that, Jesus. Can you just stop at verse 47?
So yeah. he takes difficult teaching, eye for an eye, puts a harder teaching on it. Hey, just go ahead and while you're at it, just love your enemies.
Right.
And then he caps it off with this little beauty in verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father
right.
is perfect.
Which is quoting
I said what I said.
From Leviticus that says, be holy as I'm holy. Holy.
Thank you for bringing
whole,
that yeah, to the
perfect.
Conversation.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times we're like, well, I'm not perfect. I mean,
right.
gosh, I can't
Well, nobody's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned
that
one.
Usually when someone says nobody's perfect, they're trying to justify some imperfection
oh, sure.
of their
yeah.
yeah.
And this Jesus is saying, like, this isn't about our definition of perfection. This is about God's definition. Be
and why
holy.
Should we aim for that?
Because he's holy.
Because he's
and
holy.
Because we're made of God dust.
If we are to be his image bearers and a reflection of
right.
his, if we're to be a light that shines, we can't be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We can't treat our enemies the way everyone else treats their enemies.
We
can't
justify
lust
it.
Like everyone else lusts. We can't
right.
get divorced like everybody else gets divorced. We can't murder like everybody else murders. We can't break promises like everybody else breaks promises.
Well.
This doesn't shine. This isn't salt. And that's where Jesus started the conversation
right.
way back when he said, hey,
mm-hmm.
what shines? Who's blessed?
Right.
Who's happy? It's those who live quite counterculturally to what's around them.
Correct. Okay, that was fantastic. But now we're all done.
Okay, so do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.